was one of the most unlikely person to come in contact with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, God had to use Philip to actually explain this truth about who the prophet was actually speaking of. And then, Saul, the enemy of Christ, the enemy of church, he had no intention. He was not even intrigued by this Christian faith. And in his mind, this Christian faith was a threat to his religion. So he was out literally to destroy every person who believed in this way of Jesus Christ. And then we hear the story of Roman centurion. So these are not the typical likely people to get saved. Another common thread is running through all these stories is that each of the messengers actually had to overcome their own barriers, ethnic barriers. I don't know if you feel comfortable. I mean, we live in a society and day and age where we're so engaged with other ethnic groups and other cultural people groups. And yet, sometimes it's very, very difficult for us to cross our cultural boundaries as Chinese people or as Hispanic people, as Koreans, as Vietnamese. It's hard for us to cross the language and cultural boundaries to befriend people and share the gospel. Just imagine, in those days, the Jews were not even supposed to hang out with people like Samaritans or Gentiles. So they had to overcome their ethnic barriers. If for Ananias, he had to overcome the barrier of his own fear to walk into a house where this man Saul was staying, and he actually had the warrant from the high priest to destroy, to jail every Christian believer in that town. And yet he had to obey. Peter, of all people, had to overcome his religious barrier to go to this Gentile's house and pray for the entire household. So that's another common thread that is running. But one of the most important things that I want you to see in these three stories is this. Who is the author of salvation? Who is really at work converting, transforming the hearts of these people? Who was the author of salvation? It was God himself. It was not human reason or logic. It was not the preaching of those people who were called to go and share the gospel with them. God was already at work in these three people. Do you remember when we studied the book of Acts chapter 2? There's this, the way that entire chapter ends, this incredible revival is taking place. And it says at the end of that chapter that God is the one. He's the one. The Lord added to their numbers those that are being saved daily. Remember one day 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus Christ? Who was responsible for such great revival? It wasn't Peter. It wasn't their preaching. It was the Lord himself changing the hearts, converting, transforming the hearts of the people. In fact, in these stories, the three people, three messengers, they were all reluctant. They had no intention to go to these people. God actually had to direct their step. Philip, Ananias, and Peter, they were all directed by the Holy Spirit to go to these people and be the messenger of this gospel. What is God really teaching us in these stories? I titled this message, Irresistible Grace. Do you know that God's grace is really irresistible? Now, I know that some people might have a hard time just kind of looking at this statement because this is one of the five key doctrines that Calvin preached during the Reformation. So I don't want to go into this whole theological argument of whether this is talking about predestination or election. But from my understanding, when I study the scriptures, and especially in these stories, series of these events that are taking place in the book of Acts, this is probably one of the clearest examples of how God's grace is actually irresistible. What I mean by that is this. You did not choose grace. Grace chose you. If you don't believe this, you have not really understood the essence of the gospel. The reason why you and I are here today is not because somehow this Christian faith all made sense and it sounded so attractive that I chose to believe in Jesus. There are certain truths to that, But even before all that happened, you have to really come to realize that the Spirit of God was already at work in your life, leading up to that point. I can testify that in my own life journey. For many years, I thought that I chose God. For years, I thought that I was the one who decided to follow Jesus Christ. Long before I knew, Jesus was already pursuing me. This is the case of every salvation, every conversion. Apart from God, there's no way that a human heart can be transformed to believe in this Jesus Christ. God is the author of salvation. The reason why God puts all these stories together is that, you know, that magician, Simon, even though it looked like he made a choice to follow and believe in Jesus Christ, and he even went through the whole baptism, that was not really the saving faith. His time was not yet. Whereas, you look at this story of these three men, Ethiopian eunuch, Saul, and Cornelius. God was already at work, and God was directing the footsteps of his own disciples to go and be the messenger, to really reveal this Jesus to them. That's grace choosing them. Grace was already at work in their lives. It's God's choice. I cannot explain why God chose me. Sometimes I wonder, of all the people, I have three brothers. None of them are really serving the Lord with their whole heart. Some of them had experience and encounter even with Jesus. And yet, why would God choose someone like me to serve him and to preach his gospel? I don't know. I cannot explain. But one thing I can tell you, and one thing I am sure of, is that I did not choose this life. God chose. God pursued after me. His grace came to me. And I believe with all my heart that the reason why each one of you are sitting here today is because the grace of God chased and pursued after you. That's why your heart is open to the Lord. He's been at work in your life. This keeps us in a place of humility. None of us can boast about our own decision to follow Christ. None of us can say that this is my own achievement. It was a work of God in your life. That is probably one of the most important lessons about this good news, this gospel. That God's grace is irresistible. The second thing that God is teaching us is that even though God's grace comes in such miraculous ways, gospel is always shared from person to person. Now, this is always the case. Now, many of you can probably think about some people in your life who have come to Christ without ever coming in contact with another believer. That may be true, but spiritual experience is never enough for you to really come to understand this grace that we're talking about. Many people actually end up having some kind of spiritual experiences. And most people are actually satisfied with having these kind of spiritual experiences. But the gospel of Jesus Christ and this encounter with Jesus always happens from one person, one believer, to another person. I'll explain this. Now, you've heard stories of Muslim people coming to Christ these days. We hear those kind of stories in the Middle East and places like Syria, but it's actually happening even here in the United States. Many people who immigrate or even come as refugees to our countries, they do not really have the freedom to seek after God's truth because of the bondage of Islam over their family. So I was just recently having a talk with one of my friends who actually leads a pretty significant ministry in the Midwest and is doing a ministry amongst the Muslim refugees. And she was telling me about this story, and she's been praying for this one friend who's been coming to her. And recently, she had a dream. In that dream, Jesus appeared in this white clothes. And he showed himself to this lady. But in that dream, this Jesus pointed out that you need to go and talk to this friend. And that was the friend that I was talking about. And she will explain to me who I am and what you're supposed to do. So this lady actually came to my friend and she explained that I had this dream. I don't know what to do with it. And so she had an opportunity to sit down and explain that this man that you saw in this dream is actually Jesus Christ. And then she explained the whole gospel to her. This is very typical of what is actually happening in the places like the Middle East. Jesus could easily explain, even here, you look at this story, Saul encounters no other person than Jesus himself. And Jesus could have easily explained, I mean, he explains to him that I am Jesus Christ whom you're persecuting, but he actually wanted to receive prayer from Ananias. Why was this necessary? All these people who are having dreams about Jesus, eventually they actually end up encountering one of those people who know about the Christian faith, and they'll have to explain. And this is usually the typical story of how Muslims are actually coming to Christ. Why is this important for us? You have to understand the spiritual experience on your own is never enough to form a real saving faith. God intended to save people from person to person. This is why he commanded us to go and preach the gospel. Here in all three cases, somebody had to explain, somebody had to actually reveal and point this Jesus to those that were actually seeking, or even those people who had some kind of spiritual experiences. Why is spiritual experience never enough or constitute the saving faith? Because spiritual experience does not produce a community. Do you know that salvation, the true gospel, does not just create saved individuals? The purpose of the gospel is to not just to save individual people from God's judgment, but it is to create a community. We're supposed to be accountable to one another, and that's why God always brings other people into our lives to fully unpack this mystery of the gospel. I want you to think about this in your own life. There's probably one person that you can point to in your own journey of faith. There's probably one person who either pray for you, who either explicitly introduce you to Jesus or explain the gospel to you. There's probably somebody in your life that you can always point to. Why is this important? Because it has to be more than just a spiritual experience. One person actually wrote, this is why there are a lot of people who will call themselves spiritual these days. And they always say spiritual experience is enough. It's this idea that if I bow to no one, I am a much happier person. People are just happy with having a spiritual experience because that does not really demand me to be accountable to another person. But Christian faith operates on a very different principle. We're accountable to one another. Our action, our beliefs, our faith is accountable to one another. And that's why Jesus really wanted from the very beginning that gospel has to be preached from person to person because it creates a community like this. This is why you and I are called to preach the gospel. It's a very important concept. In these three stories that we looked at, Philip, Ananias, Peter were chosen to be that messenger of the gospel. The last one that I want to highlight and then we'll end our time is that when you understand this, when you really begin to believe that it is God at work that actually converts and saves people, it makes evangelism so much easier. How many of you find evangelism very challenging or difficult to go and share the gospel with somebody? Let's be honest. Do you know why that is? Oftentimes the reason is because we own the burden of converting somebody. We feel like that's our responsibility. That I have to be able to preach the perfect gospel to somebody. If I mess it up, somehow this person will never come to Christ. Some of us feel like we have to be trained in how we share the gospel with another person. Now let me tell you this. One of the theologians put this in such an eloquent way. He said that God saves people not because of our preaching, but despite our preaching. Have you ever been in this situation? I've been in plenty of situations where I feel like I've done such a poor job in presenting the gospel, and yet the people would still come to believe in Jesus Christ. If we really believe that God is the one who can actually transform the heart of men and women, and he's the one, he's solely responsible for people's salvation, that burden does not rest upon us. We don't have the responsibility of converting somebody or persuading somebody into the kingdom of God. A lot of times our evangelism effort rests on trying to persuade somebody into the faith. None of these people, Ananias or Peter or Philip, had to actually do that. God was responsible. Our job is simply to be the messenger, to be at the right place at the right time, to pray for people. That's all is required. Sometimes all it takes is just share our own encounter with Jesus. Sometimes all it takes is to invite somebody into this community. We're not responsible for persuading or converting somebody. And yet, let me tell you, so much of our energy and our effort has gone into making gospel more attractive. We don't need to make the gospel more attractive. Gospel of Jesus Christ is already attractive to those people that God is already at work. No matter what we say or how we say it, they will come to faith if God's grace is irresistible. And yet, we somehow feel like we have to make this grace more attractive so that people can believe. Sometimes we even compromise in our worship and what we preach and what we teach because we want to make people a little bit more at ease when they come to a place like this. That's not our responsibility. It is God's responsibility. Couple of practical applications and then I'll end. I hope these two points that I'm about to make will actually encourage you. What's the point of God giving us these stories and teaching us this story about how he actually brings someone into salvation? What's our takeaway point? What do we learn from these stories? If this is true, we really become the people of grace. If we truly believe that we are saved not because of our merit, not because of our achievement, not because of our own decision, but because of God's irresistible grace, it always keeps us in the place of humility, gratefulness, and graciousness towards one another. The reason why we cannot be gracious to one another oftentimes is because we have forgotten that it was God's grace that saved us in the first place. Somehow we have become more critical, more judgmental, more superior people. And we begin to look down upon other people. We're going to look at this next week. And Peter is the one who gets a serious lesson about racism, about prejudice. We'll look at that story next time. But we become, if we truly understand this concept, we become people of God's grace. But the second encouragement that I want to share with you, as we go from this place tonight, how do we become effective witness of Jesus Christ and to the gospel message that he has entrusted to us? Here's the biggest takeaway point. We become better listeners to the Holy Spirit. What we need is not a greater evangelistic training or method that will make the gospel more attractive. We just have to become better listeners to the Holy Spirit. If our hearts become more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, imagine if Philip missed out on this opportunity when God instructed him to go and talk to this Ethiopian eunuch. Imagine Ananias refused to go to this man, Saul, or Peter refusing to go to Cornelius' house. You know what would have happened? God would have probably chosen someone else. Yeah, we would have missed out on this great opportunity. I want you to think about this. if we are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and if we're just willing to obey, you may be the responsible person to the conversion of maybe the next great evangelist. You may be responsible for bringing someone into the kingdom who may be the next great missionary, or maybe the next great preacher, maybe the next great men and women of God. Just simply by listening to the Holy Spirit and being willing to obey His voice. Think about this man. So I think this is probably one of the most amazing stories in the entire New Testament. God turns the greatest enemy of Christ into one of the greatest apostles. All because somebody was willing to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Ananias had the great privilege of going and praying, laying his hand upon this man. He had no idea what kind of apostle that this man would eventually become. And yet he just simply went in obedience, prayed for him, and his eyes were open. He begins to preach, and he's the one who's responsible for writing the majority of the New Testament. He became the seed of this great missionary movement that spread throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He's directly responsible for you and I hearing and embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it makes us a better listener to God's instruction and direction. These days, when I travel or when I go out, I don't feel the pressure to share the gospel with every person that I meet. Oftentimes, all I do is, God, lead me to the person that you want me to speak to. I do that all the time before I get on the plane. God, I prefer to sit alone, and I'll just be very, very happy if nobody sits next to me so that I can have the whole place to sleep. But if there is a person that you want me to talk to, lead me to the right person or lead this person into my path. And some amazing things happened in the past. My conversations that I've had with strangers. That's the greatest way to actually be a witness of Jesus Christ. Before you go to work, God, will you lead me to that one person that you want me to talk to? Before you step out of your house into your neighborhood, just ask the Holy Spirit, will you just lead me to one person that you want me to talk to? If nobody comes into my life, that's fine. I'll just mind my own business. No burden, no pressure. And see what God will do when you're willing to listen to His voice. I really believe that the Lord wants this church to continue to grow, continue to have influence, continue to have impact upon our neighborhood, our society, our city in this area. Please believe with me and pray with me. God is not done with New Vine. This is not it. There's so much more. If we begin to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, God is going to begin to lead us to the right people. He'll tell us what to say, how to pray for those people, how to lead those people to Christ. You want to see that happen in your life? Yes? Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you for this precious lesson. Lord, for so often, we forget that it was your grace that came to us. It was your saving grace that chose us. It was you who formed and fashioned our hearts and planted the seed of the gospel that will grow into the saving faith. That's what you have done for us, and that's what you are doing all around us. Help us never to forget that, Lord. Make us people of your grace, humble, grateful, gracious to one another. But also we pray that in the coming days, your voice, the voice of your Holy Spirit, will ever become louder in our lives, Lord. We You don't want to be frantically going around trying to share the gospel of always feeling guilty or always feeling inadequate. But instead, Lord, we will trust that you'll lead us to right people. You'll give us opportunity to share about how you encountered us and how your grace saved us. We just want to simply be an instrument of your gospel, messenger of your gospel, Lord. So will you empower us today? Will you open our ears to be able to discern your heart and your voice in the coming days? And Lord, we pray for right relationship, right friendship to form in our own lives in the coming days, Lord. Father, even in this evening as we gather together, Father, we pray that our gathering and our sharing of the meal will be the celebration of your amazing and irresistible grace that you have shown to us, Lord. We celebrate you. We celebrate your love. We celebrate your presence with us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.